Good morning. Stock markets have had their biggest fall since the financial crisis. The cancellation of more major sporting events is being considered, and all since we found out that today would be Mickey's last day. What have you done, Mickey? I don't think people saw that one coming.
No. With a day to go, the FTSE 100 is having its worst week for over a decade, down 8.5%. About £150 billion has been wiped from the value of leading shares.
We've got a new story for you to talk about today, Mickey, as well. The future of a third runway at Heathrow is uncertain.
Yeah, campaigners have won an appeal in court of the building of it, and it's all to do with our climate commitments.
And Mickey, as it is your last day, we've got a few memories to reflect on, if that's all right with you.
That's all I've got. I'll sit back and take it easy.
Wake up to money with Sean Farrington and Mickey Clark.
So here we go. Wake up to money with Mickey Clark. One last time. We've mentioned on the show over the last week or so that Mickey won't be with us as regularly as he is now due to savings that Five Live, wider BBC News is having to make. So not an easy time for Mickey, for listeners, for the team here at Wake Up To Money. But we're going to have a bit of a send-off a bit later in the show. We've got Justin Urquhart-Stewart with us today, co-founder of Seven Investment Management. Morning to you, Justin.
Good morning.
You got the braces on?
Of course I have. I've got to wear some clothes, for God's sake.
The only fossil that now passes himself off as an archaeologist.
And look at that. Look what he's done to the market. He retires and the stock market falls apart.
Absolutely.
I'm surprised.
I mean, it's like the gods have said, right, you need to spend more time talking about what is going on in the stock markets today. And so front page of the Financial Times, Mickey, you know, virus triggers worst run on markets since financial crisis. It's built up over the week, hasn't it? And now some of the numbers around are pretty big.
I think some of the biggest falls that we've seen in stock markets over the years, the decades, have often come from left field where you're not expecting them. And coronavirus and the impact of that is just one episode. I mean, the FTSE had its worst week since the financial crisis in 2008. It's lost nearly 8.5%. It was down 3.5% yesterday.
And if you want to get in touch with us about anything we're discussing, we've already had two poems come in, Mickey, live on air. An ode to Mickey's. Let us know any of your thoughts. We're going to have, well, let's call it a celebration, shall we? People have been getting in touch with poems, Mickey. I've got to read one out. One thing I do like, we're still getting messages this morning, people calling you Nicky. You must have had Nicky, Nicky Clark.
All my life, yeah.
But it is Mickey. Even if you've been listening 26 years, it is Mickey. One saying, ode for Mickey, fare you well, dear Mickey. You interpreted market moves most tricky. Those wise grave tones will be missed by all, whilst the golf club till will have a ball. So off you go to pastures new, and now we'll have you back when we are in a stew. That's from Eddie.
And, very good, Eddie. Well done.
Very impressive this time of the day as well. Few more of those to come as well. Do let us know your thoughts. Hashtag wake up to money. Should we have a look back on some of the best moments of 26 years? Yeah, took a bit of digging out, but we should start on day one. Five Live began, and it was the debut of this one Mickey Clark.
Now, though, it's time for Adrian Childs. Wake up to money.
Well, good morning. Important days for Westland Helicopters. Well, shareholders fall for the charms of GKN. Well, with me, I've got my regular guest, Mickey Clark. He's stock market correspondent for The Times. Now, Mickey, what is it Westland have got that GKN are so keen to get their hands on?
It's a lucrative business. It's got strong margins. And it's an opportunity for GKN to diversify away from the depressed automotive components market.
Oh, what's the actual Westland gear like? They make helicopters, don't they? These are for military use?
Military and civil, yes, both. It's a good market. It's not just in defence, it's also in civil.
Now, back to you, Mickey, finally, before we close. Pearson are reporting today. Not a household name in their own right, but they've got some famous names under their belt, haven't they?
They certainly do. Alton Towers, Madame Tussauds, and for city whiz kids like you, it's got the Financial Times. It wants to be known as a media company these days. It's been a bit of a hodgepodge just recently. It sold off Roald Dahl and Dalton China last year. But we could see this time around an increase in pre-tax profits from 150 to 212 million. Good performance.
Mickey, thanks for that. Well, that's about all we've got time for this morning. I'll be back in 45 minutes with more business. Mickey joins me again at the same time tomorrow.
Shall we get an update?
Sounded quite posh there. It didn't last long, did it?
Unbelievable. I wonder what moment that changed. Probably on day two, I imagine.
It's that Adrian Childs. He rubs you the wrong way, I'm afraid.
Well, should we hear a little bit more from him? Here is the presenter of that show with Mickey, Adrian Childs himself.
Mickey was right there at the beginning of Five Live with me. doing Wake Up to Money. I have many, many happy memories. Firstly, come rain or shine, he always came in a four-wheel drive. And he said, well, I might get snowed in one day in Kent. I don't know, did it ever happen, Mickey? Did you ever become the only person who could get in from the southeast of England because it was so snowy and you had a four-wheel drive? Also, I never saw him wear anything but golf shoes. He always wore foot joys, whatever the weather, on or off the golf course, in or out of the studio. And then there was the day I played golf with him. I'd known him for years. Nothing could have prepared me for the shock of seeing Mickey Clark in plus fours. He looked like he'd gone to a fancy dress party as Toad of Toad Hall. What a guy. He's the man. What a pleasure it was working with him.
Blimey, I forgot about that.
Good times. I remember that. Well, probably the four-wheel drive you had when I started working with you was probably a different one, was it, to the one back in 1994?
Oh, yeah. Got through a few.
Ever get snowed in?
We did, yeah. It came down a couple of times on the motorway, and I wouldn't have got in with an ordinary car, but, yeah, it was a lot of money to spend just to get in twice.
Thank goodness for that. Just in those sort of, the early days, weren't many people doing this, were there?
No, it was very few, and it was fascinating because what Mickey was doing was taking something that was to a lot of people dull and nothing to do with them, it's a something in the city, and actually making a connection to everybody in their day-to-day lives. This is important to you. Pay attention because here's your pension, your long-term savings money, and this is what's happening in the economy, which we're all participating on. No, it was a vital change in communication to people, getting rid of the patronising gits and red braces and getting someone who actually knows what they're talking about.
Well, I conned them long enough to believe that I knew what I was talking about.
Well, you conned a fair few people who've been in touch this morning. Luke in Leicestershire says, I've been listening to Mickey for over 20 years, starting off as a graduate trainee in the city to now running a textile business in the Midlands. Straight talking, best analysis, occasionally gloriously grumpy. If you fancy a round of golf in Rotherley, let me know.
Oh, there you go.
He says, they'll start coming in as well. Shall we? It's interesting that he mentioned sort of listening to you while he was in the city, and then he ended up not in the city. I don't know whether he was taking anything literally that you were saying, because you might remember as well back in those days of Adrian Charles on Wake Up to Money. It wasn't just Wake Up to Money you were doing, Mickey, because I mean you're doing stuff elsewhere as well, a day job.
Yeah.
Five Live Breakfast, Five Live Drive as well. Peter Allen and Jane Garvey. We've managed to get the two of them, get the band back together for you, just for today. Here they are.
My story of Mickey Clark involves some Marconi shares. I was the proud possessor when we met of Marconi shares, which I'd purchased at £1.76 a share. They then began to collapse. And I said to Mickey, trustworthy Mickey, what's the prospect? And he said, don't worry, Peter, the company will never collapse. So I not only kept the shares, I kept buying them as they went down lower and lower. What he didn't tell me was that survival meant that they just published suddenly millions of shares, and the shares I had became worth about a penny. And I said, I went to see Mickey, and he said, I didn't say that the shares would stay up, Peter. I said the company would survive. So Mickey, I became known as Mr. Marconi, and Mickey, well, I've never trusted him since, to be honest.
And you're now destitute, aren't you, Peter? Absolutely. I just want to, Mickey, for me, actually, he's been many a dark morning, he has been a voice of, a voice of consolation, certainty, and just a reality check. I don't know whether people, Peter and I have done early morning broadcasting. It's a bloody tough gig. Mickey does it even earlier than we ever did it, and how he's kept on doing it, I do not know. But I think you need to know, Mickey, how much your presence means to people. First thing in the morning can be really tough for lots of reasons for lots of people. And sometimes it's not even what you're talking about that matters. It's just the way you say it. And I just think, Mickey, you're really going to be missed. So, and not least by me, mate. So,
Jane, you're making me cry.
Well, I mean it.
I do. I remember Mickey meeting him at the Open Golf. I remember the beginning of the meeting, and he said, come and have a drink, Peter. So I don't remember the end of the meeting. I mean, a good journo and a good drinker and a good bloke. What greater accolade could I give?
There you go, Mickey. That's Peter Allen.
I remember that day.
Jane Govick, yeah. Do you?
Only just so, yeah.
Impressive. Did you ever get into the Marconi shares? No. You
dodged that one. I was a fan of GEC, as it was then known, and under Arnold Weinstock, who was labelled a bit tight. because he never spent a great deal of money, but he acquired some great businesses. But then someone else took over and the whole thing went down the tubes, basically.
So, mentioned, you know, you're doing first thing in the morning, you've got Five Live, Wake Up to Money, and then actually at the end of the day, popping up on Drive as well, and somehow in between you were fitting a day job on the papers. So,
I don't know how I did it, to be honest.
No, I'm not too sure. I remember when I started producing on this programme and, you know, behind the scenes, and I don't think I really clocked that, you know, every morning we were seeing you sort of skipping through the door, so cheery enough. And then you'd go away and do about three jobs and come back the next morning. With those early starts and finishes, we thought we'd ask a couple of people, see if you recognise these voices, about what you were like to cope with during the day.
Hello, Mickey. It's Robert Miller, your erstwhile print and broadcast colleague. And I'm with Robert Lee, industrial editor. We worked out, actually, between us, we've almost 60 years' experience of working with you. How's that been, Bob?
None of which was particularly enjoyable.
Oh, well, that's a good start. We were asked to think of stories, Mickey. I mean, what are they? Legendary. Getting up at 3:30 in the morning, turning up at the studio, doing a quick stint on BBC World, then in to write the stock market report, home on the Money Channel. I think he must have gone home to sleep, but I'm never quite sure. Now, the only thing I can remember, he used to have once a month, he used to have a blowout. They had the stock market reporter's lunch. Copy turned up, it was absolutely fine. But putting the fractions in, Mickey, didn't matter if it had gone up or down. Every Friday, once a month, it went up by a quarter every time. I would say, though, Mickey, the ultimate professional, good friend, and certainly from a broadcasting point of view, I learnt it all with Mickey Clark.
I think when Mickey Clark left the Evening Standard in 2010, a lot of the fun went out of the business. And I think colleagues and friends of his at the BBC will find that as true for you.
So Robert Miller and...
two great journalists there.
Yeah, Robert Lee from The Times there. I'm told, Mickey, that was a heavily edited bit of reflection.
Always
from
was when Robert did it.
we couldn't broadcast some of the tales that were coming out. Maybe they'll be for a podcast extra another day. How about Andy Verity? Probably the one... it says here, the one who put up with you for the longest...
Yeah, I think he probably was.
Yeah, and he's survived, recovered, and he has a few of these memories.
All right, Mickey, it's Andy. Now, you may not have thought this, but actually, we go back 17 years now to 2003 when we were doing the Drive show with Peter Allen and Jane Garvey, and you used to do the market slot after you'd done your job at the Evening Standard, before which you did Wake Up to Money every single morning, coming in from Kent and back. I mean, you worked mentally hard. I could never understand it. You were the man who makes it fun, and you were the man who made it fun to work with for 8 years. I think your missus wouldn't mind me saying that I'm your longest running partner, broadcast partner, that is. Well, I remember in the middle of the financial crisis, you simply said, "Don't panic, Captain Mannering." And that kind of perfectly summed up the attitude that everybody needed to have, because everything went a bit crazy there back in 2008. But you and I were working together from 2005 till 2013. And it's honestly been one of the most fun parts of my whole career, Mickey. You were the pioneer of making business human, making financial stories fun and interesting and accessible, and that sort of paved the way for everybody else who's tried to do the same thing, but only really been a pale imitation of you, Mickey. I hope you don't miss the broadcastings. I know you won't miss the early mornings. Good luck, Mickey. Great working with you.
Andy Verity there.
Good lad, Andy.
They were going through all the you know, listening to all the financial crisis programmes on the team, and one of the key moments, obviously, was the collapse of America's fourth largest bank, Lehman Brothers. So Mickey Clark's take on that at the time, pretty crucial. You know, you never know when it might be played again in the future. Here's your take on it, along with an old friend of the show.
David Buett from BGC Partners is with us. David, it's clear. I mean, we've seen references already. Andy and Robert Heller talked about, you know, comparing now with 87, 29. Really, this is just a blip, isn't it, as far as that's concerned? Yes, the consequences could be dire, but for the stock market, I thought it went very well yesterday.
It was orderly. The only thing that wasn't orderly, Mickey, and is great concern of everybody, is, of course, the question of banks being able to settle.
Just a blip.
Just a blip.
Yeah.
Well, it was.
In, in true This Is Your Lifestyle. We've got David Buick up on the line with us now. Morning to you, David.
Hi there, Sean. And morning, Mickey. Morning, top man.
Morning, David.
All right, boy,
I just need to rattle through this because it's such a privilege to be able to send some really kind words, which you thoroughly deserved. I first met you 22 years ago on the Breakfast TV, BBC, with Sophie Raworth and Tanya Beckett, all those years ago. And then used to do the Money Channel with Justin Urquhart Stewart. Do you remember that?
Adam Fife.
Absolutely. Everybody considers Mickey to be the doyen of the market of business reporters. He has no peer in the realm. The years he spent at the Times and the Standard, coupled with being the voice of, as you say, Wake Up to Money. And I think Guy Ruddle probably ran Andy pretty close for the number of years. He did it for well over 20 years, and he's earned the entire respect of the marketplace as the voice of sanity and reason over many years of financial turbulence. And my word, Mickey, we've had some turbulence, haven't we? I shall always remember you, and I look forward to raising a glass with you next week. You are the quintessential business broadcaster, and we are deeply in your debt.
Won't get my head through the door.
Of course you will.
I'm sure there's been a few good lunches along the way, David.
We've put the world to right on more than one occasion, Sean. Yes. And he is the greatest company, as he is on radio. On a one-to-one basis, you can't ask for a nicer person to spend time with.
Well, I've asked Sean to join us next week, David. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, blimey.
No, lovely. Love that.
You didn't run that by David, did you? That.
No, he doesn't have to. If Mickey says it's okay, it's okay.
Well, David, we've had about 150 people get in touch this morning on Wake Up to Money as well. So we'll bring them along.
Cheers, David.
Bye now.
Cheers, David. So many messages. Should I do another poem from David? And so it's goodbye, Mickey. His accent's really tricky. His broadband's really sticky, but he never pulls a sickie. His tie is not a dicky. He's never been too slicky. He loves a chocolate bicky. We really miss you, Mickey. Thank you for all of your messages. Do keep them coming. 85058, hashtag Wake Up to Money if you want to get in touch on social media. Right, Mickey, 26 years, loads of presenters. We mentioned a few of them this morning who wanted to send us their memories. You can sit back and have a sip of a cup of tea now because here's a few more memories kicking off with Paul Lewis.
Mickey Clark. I worked with Mickey on Wake Up to Money at the end of the 90s. He got up, as we all did, before 4 a.m, drove to the BBC, did Wake Up to Money, then drove to the Evening Standard, where he was city editor, 5 days a week. The hours wrecked me after 3 years. He lasted more than 20. He'd come in and say, "Oh, my turn to do the dinner tonight." The missus said to me, "What are you making?" I'd say, "A reservation." A great loss to the BBC's morning business coverage. A great loss to the BBC. Mickey, the very best for your future.
Hi, Mickey. It's Adam Parsons here. When I presented Wake Up to Money, people always used to ask me the same two questions. What time do you get up? And what is Mickey Clark like? And there's a link between them, because when you do get up, in my case, it was 3:30 every morning, you want it to be worth a pain. And it really was, because you, Mickey, you were such good company. So to answer the question, Mickey Clark is exactly what you'd hope for. He's funny, he's warm, he's smart, witty. He's also a terrific, incisive journalist and a great bloke. I remember an outside broadcast we did on a cold morning in Leadenhall Market when everything worked, we had loads of laughs. And I just thought how lucky I was to be there at that time, hanging out with you. I've still got a photo of the two of us that morning on my desk at home. Thank you. A million thanks and lots of love.
Hi, Mickey Clark. It's Rachel Burden here. You're going to be very, very much missed in the morning. I remember listening to you back in the ancient historic times of Five Live when I first started listening as a student in Dublin to Peter and Jane. And then I had the unique privilege of meeting you and working with you a bit later. But the best fun was not speaking to you on air. The best fun was just catching up with you off air. Having a good chat, having a catch up, having a big Mickey hug. And it's going to be a lonely old place early in the mornings without you there anymore, I tell you.
Hi, Mickey. It's Danny here. I'm going to let the listeners in on a little secret because I obviously work out of Salford and you work from your pad in Kent. What they might not know is we always have a video link up so we can try and coordinate who's asking the questions. but I love that you use it to blow kisses at me or make disgusted faces when we talk about some kind of tech advance or a company being valued at far more than you think it's worth. I'm really going to miss your insight, but most of all, I'll miss your warmth. You made it easy to become part of the Wake Up to Money family.
Mickey Clark, it's Steph McGovern here. Do you know what? I just wanted to wish you all the best because you and I go back a long, long way. And do you know what? To me, you are the great, great, great grandfather I never had. So thank you for everything you've taught me, particularly, you know, everything I know about money is thanks to you, especially how to spend it. Speaking of which, I'm sure you owe me money for something, don't you? Anyway, love, good luck with everything.
Well, hello to my very favourite morning curmudgeon. Mickey, it's Coletta here. When I was presenting the programme, you spent really a good chunk of time gently laughing at me as I would turn up to present the programme in our ice box of a studio wearing hundreds of layers, including normally a bobble hat, and I would just see your smiling face throughout the show. You, of course, ever the professional, would put in your shift no matter how ill you were. You would cough your way through the programme and hope that none of the listeners even noticed. Mickey, we'll miss you like mad. It is difficult getting up at that time of the morning, but honestly, you made the process so much easier for me by having a laugh and just your attitude through the whole thing. And I know that's what the audience will miss too. Lots of love.
Mickey, Sir Michael Clark, OBE. Listen, you're a wonderful journalist, the most natural broadcaster, irreverent, brimming with common sense, warm, funny, wise, cynical, when appropriate, sceptical, all the time, down to earth, perceptive. I loved waking up to you. It's never going to be the same. So good luck in your new job as the Governor of the Bank of England. Or is it Director of the BBC, Director General? We wish. No, listen, seriously, I know you can now devote more time to your real passion and the cause so dear to your heart, Extinction Rebellion.
Yeah. Got many protests lined up.
Cynical, sceptical, he's got the wrong bloke.
I tell you what, I don't think I've ever been in a more sort of coarse office. When I'd come in and work and you and Steph would be on the same shift at the same time.
Well, she's absolutely gutted me because I fancied her like mad. And now she tells me, not just as a granddad, as a great-granddad.
Well, there you go. You find these things out one day, don't you?
Yeah.
So many messages as well, Mickey, from people. Go through a few more here. Take care, lovely Mickey, says one. Early mornings won't be the same without you. Eases the loneliness. You've often talked about that, Mickey, about, you know, the people we're talking to, the sort of the point of us being on. I mean, that's what the rest of us have learned from you, the way you are on air.
You're sitting there having individual conversations with people in their front room, and you have to respect that. And the one thing I've learned about our listeners is that they're not as dim as we sometimes like to portray. They're actually quite a bright crowd, always coming up. As you're hearing this morning, they've always got something to say, something interesting. And I've thrived on that. It's the one thing I will miss.
Somebody else using the word curmudgeonly here. Thanks so much to Mickey for being the curmudgeonly uncle to wake up to for so many years. Uncle's a bit better, isn't it, than great-great.
Yeah. I can live with that.
A morning without him has always left me feeling disappointed. Somebody else saying, been listening to Mickey since my first DAB radio around 2005. A familiar and friendly voice that'll be missed on cold, dark mornings like today. Mickey, we're going to miss you, says John and Paul in Coventry. Listen every morning. Always wondered if you do your bits in your dressing gown from your home studio. I can say I don't think it's ever...
Don't have a dressing gown. Well, I do have a dressing gown. I don't wear it.
Well, yeah.
But it's joggers. Joggers and a floppy shirt, as you can see.
Yeah, it is, you know, I can say, looking at you down the screen every morning, there's never been that moment of unfortunate sort of coincidences.
It drives Danny wild.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
Justin, I mean, you know, getting up early in the morning and doing this stuff. I mean, you must have remember stumbling in a few times with Mickey over the years and wondering whether you're going to get on air. Is he? I don't know. Is he turning up? Never miss one though.
He never seemed to miss one, no matter what had happened. And sometimes some of the other presenters weren't there. I mean, I remember they managed to mess up all the diaries as who's going to be presenting. And suddenly realised there were no presenters. It was suddenly there was Mickey and there was me. And that was it. But he carried it off superbly. It was absolutely no one would have known anything was wrong at all. You know, it's a great privilege working with this individual. But I tell you, one of the highlights is watching him during that time when we had mad things that people used to invest in, like ostriches, and watching Mickey being attacked by an ostrich, which people had apparently invested in. It's a great picture.
What was that? Was that what was that for?
It was a series I did for BBC Two, pound for pound, with Liz Barkley off of You and Yours. And I had to go to an ostrich farm. And ostriches try to eat you, but they've got no teeth, so they peck you. But what you got to watch is they kick forwards and backwards. And if they can kick you, they can break your leg. And these things were towering over. There was about 20 of them all around me. And it was bitterly cold. And he's laughing in the sidelines when I'm trying to do a piece to camera. So,
oh, yeah, he was there as memories. Well. Right, he's literally
in
Blackpool, the flesh.
Yeah.
Love it. And I was going to ask you about some of your favourite moments. I wasn't expecting an ostrich attack being in there. Because I remember when we got you doing some synchronised swimming. At one point.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good way. In the run up to the Olympics.
Yeah. That's still on YouTube. That's
it is.
Like a beach whale, I was. I felt dreadful. I've never been so knackered in my life. Those girls were so fit. It was just extraordinary.
I wouldn't do it now.
I'd sink.
I'll tweet out the link to that a little bit later. David in Woking saying, Mickey, I loved you in the morning. You introduced me to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Who knew finance could be interesting? Yeah. Thanks for everything. I mean, what jumps out for you? Does anything really jump out for you over 26 years?
I think in terms of the programme, probably the collapse of Lehman Brothers, which happened on air live while myself and Andy were doing it. You probably remember that, Justin, as well.
Yeah, I was there.
You know, that was history in the making. And the thing did go bust and we all looked at each other and thought, well, where do we go from here?
And really,
that was seismic.
It really was seismic. And really, you could see this was going to have a huge impact. But how much of that? Little did we realise, actually, how much it was going to unravel the entire banking system. It had been waiting for some time. It had been building up like that. But you managed the evaluation of that on the spot, understanding what impact that would have, not on the banking system, but also on the economy and down to individuals. That is professional journalism.
Well, Mickey, I mean, there's not much left for me to say. I mean, blimey, the listeners, people we've worked with, Adam touched on it, where, you know, saying it's a doddle to get up in the morning. And that's one of the things, you know, I can say. And that is almost entirely down to you from when, you know, there's loads of us on the Wake Up to Money team at the BBC who've worked here over the years, hundreds of people, I reckon, who've got up doing night shifts, you know, getting up at ungodly hours and wondering what on earth we're doing sometimes when you haven't felt like you haven't slept for 4 days. But from the moment you walk through the door, you know, picked up the phone when we chat to you in the morning, you know, all those stresses, tiredness that you have, it goes out the window, you know, as a colleague doing that. And there's so many people behind the scenes who, you know, you make it a joy. When it can get pretty stressful sometimes, and you know, your little sort of, all right, boy, I got that. You know, when we think it could be Lehman Brothers collapsing, and we get back that nice little calm reaction, you know, it means the world to a lot of people. And just hearing how much you're working, I mean, I definitely wouldn't have realised there had been times when you were getting no sleep, or you've edited a paper in the afternoon the day before. We'd never know that when you came in. So, you know, as a colleague, it's just top class. As a journalist, we'd spend all night trying to think of a killer question with a banking boss coming on. And you'd be the master of coming in and you'd end up knocking him out with the gentlest of blows. And we'd think, where's that come from? For those of us presenting with you, you know, you've turned in a lot of dodgy performances from the rest of us and you turn them into masterpieces. And the big thing that everybody will take away on our gang is, I remember, you know, you would always turn straight to Steve Hawkes in the Sun City pages and in a morning just to see what he was on about. And you'd always say to me when I was producing you, he knows what people care about. And that's your mantra. And it rubs off on all of us every single day. And it will continue to do that. And so, you know, trying to find all these words to about put into context what people think of you. But you can't really do it, can you? So the best way to do it, we found, is we've not spoken to a governor of the Bank of England on Wake Up to Money. But the next one, Andrew Bailey, due to start in a few weeks, he's already under the cosh already. Can't get an interview for love nor money, but somehow he found the time to send us this.
Well, he's one of the sort of voice of financial markets, really. I mean, you associate Mickey with the sort of the voice of the morning report on the markets. Well, I'd say to Mickey, look, thank you. You've been one of the best known commentators on markets. You know, we all want financial markets to be understood. And we need people like Mickey who have been essentially the voice of financial markets. I'm always slightly amused by this comment about Mickey that he's, quote, known for his pessimistic delivery. Of course, speaking as a regulator and a central banker, I just regard it as realistic, not pessimistic. Thanks, Mickey. You've done a great job.
There you go. You and the regulators on the same side, Mickey.
Yeah, who'd have thought that? I mean, it's a job, but it's not really a job. It's great fun. And the people you've got to respect are the listeners. You're not talking down to them. You're sitting there and having a chat with them. And it's just wonderful to get up and do it day after day. You make the most of your career because you're in a great job.
Yeah, I feel very lucky. And just, you know, as Linda in Peterborough said, love you, Mickey. We're going to miss you a lot. And that is love from a lot of us. Do you want to sign us off one more time?
Oh, how do I do that? I've forgotten.
Just say something like, that's it from Wake Up to Money.
That's it from Wake Up to Money. Over to you, breakfast, whoever that is.
It's me, Mickey, Claire.
Hello, Claire.
Hello. Oh, end of an era. That's all I can say.
Wake Up to Money from BBC Five Live.